I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime. How are you, and good morning? It is 5 a.m. as I record this in the Pacific Northwest, and I have a special guest from overseas, Sleepless Insomnia Erotica. She's not quite here yet, but I'm really excited to be doing some interviews again and some reading. I hope you tuned in and caught my reading, my quick reading with Seven of Night. I call him Seven, and got a chance to hear his marvelous voice. Guys, you know how I am with a voice and an accent, okay? My friend Cal caught it out. I do like a good voice and a good accent, and I like meeting new people, and I like connecting with people that I've interacted with online, and chatting with them and talking with them and getting to know them and feeling like, wow, this person, if we were neighbors, we would have been best friends. That is so fun for me, and I feel really honored. And I also, you know, I'm all about the story. I am connecting with writers of all different kinds who have all different kinds of stories. Okay, granted, yes, I know it's a little bit on the smexy, sexy side, but that's the fun parts, right? Okay, were you one of those people who just skipped through the sex, or were you like one of those people who read it over and over 100 times? Come on, fess up. Who are you? Are you a skipper, or did you read it over a couple times while holding your pearls with a look of shock and awe on your face as you did? That was totally me. I mean, when I was in high school and I got a hold of Clan of the Cave Bear, a caveman novel, and every book thereafter by Jean, I can't even say her name, Jean M. Aul, a writer from the Northwest. Some of her writing I loved. I read it over and over and over. I love the juicy bits. I love the interaction. I love the character building. I love, you know, all that in writing. And when you get down to erotica and erotic poetry, it's so much about the journey, and it's all the juicy bits. Somebody said, what is the difference between erotica when you're writing erotica and straight porn? I don't even know. Oh, she's here. So Kate, you're here, so you can just call in. I mean, I know the difference between erotica and porn. Erotica is the writing or the erotic journey of one person, and porn is the act itself. But what I was going to say is I don't know that I read straight porn, because that would be so boring to me. I want to be in somebody's head. Right? I want to be in somebody's head. So Kate is in the audience, and I'm just going to, you know, encourage her to, there she is. She's calling in. She did it. Good morning.
Hi. Well, good afternoon from the UK. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? You did it.
Yeah. I was worried technology would let me down, but we got there. Yay.
I hear you. I hear you. That's wonderful. I have, you know, you heard me interview. It's so neat to be able to connect with people, and that the reception is so clear. You know, you're way... and you already know from how we communicated how bad I am with trying to figure out the math of the time change. And so
I'm guessing that you're West Coast US?
Yes, I am. Yeah. In the Northwest. I'm in Washington State. So West Coast, Pacific Northwest, Pacific time, PST. So yeah, it's 5 a.m. and it's 1 p.m. there. Is that right?
It is, yes, indeed. Yep. So we are right at the height of a very hot Saturday. And hopefully with you, we can push that temperature a little bit higher.
I think we're going to. I think we're definitely going to. I was going, you know, I've seen you quite a bit on Twitter, but I was going through and I was like familiarizing myself. You write all kinds of interesting, kinky stuff. You haven't pigeonholed your stuff. You go there.
A conversation I have quite often with my dear friend Vlad is around kink shaming. And personally, I don't hold with kink shaming. As long as everything happens between consenting adults and is legal, I don't see why you should possibly have a problem with anybody else's kink. And I know one that does tend to be very divisive is foot fetish. Now, personally, I don't find feet attractive. I don't find them repulsive. So I took on that challenge and I wrote a piece about a man with a foot fetish and having an encounter with him. Because for me personally, I would find it highly arousing and highly erotic to see his reaction. I would feed off his arousal. So yeah. For me, the whole thing about kink shaming, I just don't get it. And that is something that I try in my writing to subtly address by not putting myself into any sort of pigeonhole, as you said, for erotica.
Yeah.
I'll try anything once, twice if I like it.
No, I haven't read that piece. And that kind of is, it's funny that you would say that. I guess I don't, you know, I used to do some live streaming, and sometimes when you did the live streaming, you would have men who would come on who would say, "Show me your feet." And then they would say, "Thank you." You know, but they weren't rude. They were actually, as far as the trolls you could get, they were really the sweetest and kindest and most loyal people that there were.
And probably because it is such a divisive topic, that I know a lot of foot fetishes, they do get a bad rep. And I think that makes them in general more cautious and more polite, because if they find someone who isn't rejecting them straight away for that fetish, for that kink, then they're going to be more respectful of you as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I can see that. I can absolutely see that. There is a gratitude and a sensitivity in acceptance and just being seen, that for whatever it is you like, that is that I know for me personally, that just puts me in a just, I can't, you see me clearly, and I just adore you for that. I just adore you, and I will, yeah, I don't want to do anything to disrupt this relationship, because you see who I am and you don't make fun of me and you accept me. And oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing ever. So that is, you know, and there are, for me, when it comes to kink, there's so many, there are a lot of things that I don't know about. there's a lot of things.
Everything about everything.
Yeah. They're just, I know some other people who podcast, and their next episode is going to be on sounding. And I had read one book that had, and so I really don't, I'm like, so for me, I've had kids. I'm like, is that somehow about, you know, you go in and you get your ultrasound? It's not, but you know, that's what it sounds very medical to me. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. And so when you're it's hard for me. I don't want to kink shame, but at the same time, these new things, when you're really uncomfortable with them, you want to joke a little bit to just to ease into it.
I get, but that, and sounding is another strange one that, especially for men, I think us women, we look at it and we go, okay, if you enjoy it. But I think for men especially, it's very black and white. I think it's something you're either going to love or hate. At the end of the day, the amount of trust you're going to need to have in your partner to not only allow it, but to enjoy it. Yeah, that is something else, I think.
Yeah. So, and you know, yeah. So if I tend to tease, I just want to tell my audience about any particular kink, it's because I'm uncomfortable and that's on me. I'm not trying to shame anybody, because it being accepted for that's a beautiful thing. So, and I love that. I was just paging through your different things, and I'm like, she just, and you treat everything with you know, you treat everything like it's yours. You own it. When I was looking, you know, all your different things, it doesn't matter what kind of, where you're coming from on the spectrum. It was really beautiful how you just, okay, today I'm going to write from this lesbian's perspective or a lesbian. I'm going to own that. And I'm going to put myself in that situation and make it beautiful and interesting and erotic. Or the piece you might read today, I'm going to, you know, put myself in this car and I'm going to own that. And it's going to be intense. And that's it, you know, not every, sometimes our little prejudices creep into our writing. And from what I've seen of yours, you've been really remarkable about just loving everybody equally. And that's a beautiful thing. I just want to commend you on that.
Oh, thank you. I was always taught that the most valuable thing you can ever give a person is respect. And that is something that I try to bring to my everyday life, to my Twitter account, and also to my writing. Respect costs nothing, but it's priceless.
Yes. That's true. That's very good. I should put that somewhere. I usually put kindness there, but it's respect is the same way, because if you're just being kind, you know, respect is a little bit more of I think of it more, for me, it's more of a discipline, because, you know, I'm a lazy American. So respecting people when you walk into, you know, and having awareness of them rather than just on yourself is
not always easy, especially outer awareness.
It isn't. And so it's a little bit more of the discipline side for me, because I can be kind, easy, just casually, you know, but if I'm going to walk into your home and be respectful, I have to be paying attention to where my feet are being put, you know, and so that takes a little bit more effort, but really it doesn't cost me anything to, that's really awesome. What Hans, be polite. My friend Hans is in the chat. He is, he's a Texan. I'm so, good morning.
I've got my phone locked so that I'm not distracted.
Oh, so you can't even see.
So I'm not seeing that.
Good for you. So I wanted to ask you about Medium, which is one of the reasons you're, when Seven on Twitter feed, he was asking it, and I was getting it all wrong. So, and I had a feeling I might be, because I keep seeing people who write on Medium, and I get a lot of questions from new writers. Where's a good place to write? Where? And I'd heard a lot about Medium, that you could get paid there, and that it was, I mean, I don't know how much, but it's a fairly popular platform. I see for erotica writers or information writers, there's a lot of them, you know, they'll share from Twitter. So how did you get, let's start with your writing journey. Have you always been a writer?
That's a strange one. I mean, always through school, we always, we had two parts to English education here in the UK. You have English literature and English language. Literature is obviously looking at things that other people have written, and language is partly the grammar and the structure side of it, but also creative writing was very heavily encouraged where I went to school. And that kind of, together with my love of reading, fostered a love of actually creating stories. So I kind of started writing creatively from maybe the age of 8. So writing all through school, I took English language to A level and had to write creative fiction as part of coursework for that. But then I kind of lost my way with it. When after I left school, I moved abroad. Life takes over as it does.
Yes.
And I came back to writing actually at the beginning of 2012, beginning of 2012. I was in mentally a very bad place, struggling with my borderline personality disorder, and was really going through a black phase in my life. And somebody suggested to me, actually, a work colleague suggested to me, why don't you keep a journal? And I found keeping a journal very, very difficult. So I turned it on its head, and I didn't write a journal as such, but I put my feelings into another character. I projected my feelings onto a character, so it wasn't me, if you like. And I found that really helped me to work through some of the issues I was having. One of the pieces that I wrote during that period is actually on my Medium account. It's the BBC Sherlock fan fiction called Lebensmüde, which translates to life tired. And I used the character from Sherlock of John Watson, who was in the TV show also suffering from PTSD and depression. And I projected my feelings onto that character and took what I felt was a story gap within the series arc, and I wrote my feelings into it, and that's how that story came about. It was therapy. And yeah, that's basically when I started picking up writing again. And I did a lot of fan fiction in that time, both clean and erotic. And then back in 2018, I found my way back onto Twitter after a long break. Came across Feel Good, and that's Mr. Feel Good 19 on Twitter. He was one of my early follows, and he really encouraged me to start writing again erotica. And we did that a lot of back and forth on Twitter at the time. And that gave me then the confidence to go back out and look at writing my own stories independently. And yeah, that brings us more or less to where we are today.
And that brings you to, I love that you started journaling. I journaled, it was actually for me in school, junior high, we were required to journal. And that consisted of write anything in your notebook for, you know, the first 20 minutes of class sometimes. And I usually wrote stories. I usually just wrote, because it just, as long as it was something there and it was written down, and the teacher would read them and provide some kind of feedback, but it could be anything. There was no problem with story. And that's usually where I went, is I wrote stories. And I journal today quite a bit. I journal actually daily. So you're on Media. Oh, you've also written a book. I want to make sure to highlight your book. I have shared out the link out, but you have come to collaborate now. Tell me about your book that's out on Amazon.
Yeah, so that started, the initial idea started last September for this particular story. My husband has been for the last 12 to 18 months saying to me, you really should put yourself out there, you should self-publish, you know, you've got all these short stories, pull something together and put it out there, people will read it. And I never really took him seriously. You know, it's not like the marital bias. You think, oh yeah, he
exactly. You're just being nice.
Yeah, you're biased because you love me.
You don't really. That's not really true. You can't even. Yeah, no, I yeah. See that. Or it's like your grandmother, you know, do anything wrong. So he. That's wonderful that he encouraged you though, and saw that in you.
Oh, he is a very, very encouraging, rock in my life, really. But this is a particular story, Darkest Desires, that I wrote in the end with Vlad. It came through a conversation that we were having in DMs, and we were talking about BDSM fantasies. Mm-hmm. And things that we would love to try, but in real life, it's never going to happen. And we came to this whole conversation originally about knife play.
Ooh.
And yeah, and he said to me, so why don't you write it? Write down your ultimate night of submissive fantasy, anything goes. And that was the original premise for the story. So I ran with it and I let my imagination run pretty wild. I got to a finished product in January, and I felt it was lacking something. I had done this very typical submissive female thing of putting the Dom up on an impossible pedestal, making him an almost godlike character. And I felt the need to rein that in. So I had a chat with Vlad and I said, look, I need to make Kane more human. How would you feel about writing his character so that you've got an almost a round robin type story? So it's a she said and then a he said.
Oh, and that's beautiful.
And he was up for it, and he did a really difficult thing. He took a finished story and he inserted whole chapters into it,
wow,
which gave the Dom's perspective. And it works because suddenly you're seeing the doubts and the reservations of this dominant character that my character, the submissive, just cannot see, because she has this complete and utter trust that he's in control of the situation.
That is, okay, I'm going to have to read it. Yes. Have you read it, Hans? That's something Hans has a book that called The Chair that he writes from a Dom's perspective that mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet because I got to buy it, but it's only 99 cents. So, no, that's amazing. Yeah. I'm going to need to read that. That sounds really good. I was just telling someone that I hadn't read, you know, other than the pure fantasy. I mean, and by fantasy, I mean where they stick some BDSM elements in a mafia romance or a motorcycle club, you know. I haven't. And then that's kind of the stuff I write is more really on the heavy fantasy end. And I admit it, it's all fluff. I'm not, it's pure. I live reality. I write fluff. So I haven't read anything that's a little bit more real and raw when it comes to that, and getting that might be an interesting perspective that I need to get my hands on. I'm always curious about men and how they think. They're fascinating creatures to me. I just, I have 10 million questions. Because I know they're linear thinkers. They're a little bit different than us women. We tend to think, I don't know about you, but I think about 20 things at once. Well, maybe not 20, but
yeah, the brain is never quiet. Well,
yeah, exactly. And so it never quiet. And I'm always thinking, and I'm also a little bit analytical. And so I'm always, it's hard for me to get out of my head. So, And I know that's men are just, you just think differently, and especially dominant men, because when they make a decision, they make a decision, and then sticking to that decision, making their choices, you know, the follow through, the risk and reward of that, is a fascinating thing to me too. So I'm going to need to read this book. So.
But we're actually working on the sequel at the moment.
Oh, so, are you?
Yes. So watch this space, I'm afraid, is the best update I can give on that. We're working hard on it.
So you're doing it together. So how different is it to having the first time around, you had your finished product and handed that to him and said, make it better. this time you're working together. I love writing poetry with other people. So, and I actually love collaborating. When you find that person that you get that flow with, it's an amazing thing. So
you can just bounce off each other. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Is that how it's going? How is that going? I want to hear.
It's a very different experience from the first book. In a way, it's more difficult because there's an awful lot more collaboration. The first book was very much, this is my story, this is my idea, please fit in with it. Whereas the second story, we both have ideas of where we want to see the couple go. and they are not always aligned. So there's a lot of discussion in DMs, there's a lot of phone calls on WhatsApp and emails, and I write a chapter, send it to him, he reads it and goes, actually, I think we should do this.
Oh, really?
And I push back and I go, actually, no, it needs to be like this. And there's a lot of compromise involved. And I think the finished product is going to be a lot more in-depth and a lot more emotionally gripping than the first book. The first book is very much full-on action, bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. And the second book is a lot more character depth building. So yeah, they're going to be quite different, but I think the second book could end up being a much more rounded story.
Yeah, well, you just, you know, somebody told me your first book is always crap. That it's just never as good as you want it to be, because you learn so much, there's so much in the process. Yeah. And I have to agree with that. My first book was it's not horrible, but there are about 100 things I do differently. So, and I will, I'm going to go back and do them differently. That's one thing about Kindle Unlimited is you can, or yeah, digital, you can always update your book and then send it out. And that I'm going to do that someday, but that's neat.
I love the Kindle and push it to everyone who's already bought it. So
yes,
the updated version. I think that's
exactly
brilliant to do.
Yeah, you can update rather than, you know, it'd be different if it was print, but because it's digital, there's things you can do. So you don't have to be done writing, which is kind of the way writing works anyways. I'm always fixing something. fixing something, changing one word.
Something, it gets tweaked.
I know, right? I can't. I don't like edits for that reason, because I'm never really fully satisfied. And then first chapters for me are my hardest chapter. And usually that first two paragraphs, it gets edited 200 times, so that by the time where I'm done, I don't even know what's there anymore, because everybody's had a hand in editing it. And then I keep changing it back. They'll change it. Somebody will change it, then they'll change it and make it make sense. It's this funny back and forth. You know, now that you've written a book,
that the editing can be a very humbling experience.
you think you're so beautiful in your writing. Oh, I had a moment here, and then somebody comes in, you have 20 commas here.
Is that even a word? And
yeah, exactly. You're like, but it was, no, this isn't even grammatically correct. You can't say it. I'm like, yeah, I get that.
Problems.
Oh man. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So, okay. So since writers are listening to this, tell me about your experience. So you came around, now you're writing on Medium. Mm-hmm. How does that work for you? How long have you been on Medium? And are you growing an audience there? Just what writers want to know, basically.
Medium is firstly very user-friendly. It was a recommendation by somebody who's no longer on Twitter. I was looking for a platform to basically use as a blog for my writing, and he recommended Medium to me. It's very, very easy to get started with. All you need to do is create an account, link it to an email, and away you go. You can publish straight away. There do not appear to be any real restrictions in what you publish. It's very much, the impression I have, it's very much a self-vetting site. So they seem to rely very much on the members and readers to let them know if there is an issue. It's recently with the whole Black Lives Matter thing, I unfortunately did have to report an account who went too far in positive discrimination, shall we say. Yeah, you see the statement that every white person is inherently racist, and if you say you're not, you're lying. And I was sort of like, no, that is just inflammatory. That is just not the case. my experience with Medium, when you actually interact with the people behind the scenes, the administration team, has been very positive.
Oh,
they're
good.
Reactive, they're responsive. I deleted a story by mistake, and they tell you if you delete it, it's gone forever. I fired off an email to support. Within 2 hours, my story was reinstated.
That is amazing. That's an interactive, proactive company. That recommends it right
really
there.
Are.
You
they
know,
really
and
are.
If somebody was being, I know that on Wattpad, it's not, writers complain all the time. They get work stolen or they get bullying in the comments, and there's no way to really deal with, you know, you can delete the comments, but there's no way to deal with trolls, no effective way to block a troll. And,
have a block.
And I noticed that on Medium that they have a block thing. You can block people. Yeah. And then, but that losing a story, Wattpad, you know, there's nothing for that. They're not going to, you know, the interface in itself is messes up constantly, and there's nothing really to fix that interface. So, I mean, that's where I got my audience. It's been, the audience has been good to me, but, So do you get paid on Medium? Does that, or can you? Do you monitor?
You can get paid on Medium. I choose not to get paid. Reason for that being is I don't have a US bank account. Medium is a US company, and they make it very easy for you to get paid in the US, it looks like. But if you're not US based, then is a bit of a ball ache, to be honest. I looked into it and I was sort of like, you know what, I'll leave my stories for free, because the whole thing of getting international bank transfers set up just for what is basically fun for me. I'm a hobby writer, you know. I'm not expecting my books to sell millions of copies and to be the next JK Rowling. Hell no. I'm just happy if it's, you know, making a little bit of pocket money here and there on Kindle, and if people enjoy it. Yeah, for me, writing is very narcissistic. Publishing is very narcissistic. I get a lot more of a kick out of the resonance coming back from my readers than I ever would out of a paycheck.
Yeah.
You probably understand that.
Oh, my goodness. The reason I published, I had someone, some of the comments I got, one of them was, I don't know how you did it, but you literally wrote every fantasy I ever had. Thank you. And I was like, some of the comments are so kind, you cry. You're like, I communicated with you. You know,
yes, absolutely. You get that person come into your DMs, or you get that review on Amazon where someone tells you that you've touched them with your words, or in my case, made them touch themselves or their partner. that is a really, it's a good feeling, and
it is a good
it's
feeling.
A natural high.
It is a good feeling.
If anybody out there who is listening and is shy about interacting with an author, don't be. The majority of authors that I know and that I interact with, they adore feedback.
Oh, yes.
Whether it's constructive, polite criticism, which we all need to be able to grow, or whether it is an, oh my God, I absolutely loved it, or that resonated with me so much, we love to hear it.
Because the constructive, you can make it, usually you can, almost need that. I can't make it better unless you tell me the areas where, you know, it didn't work for you. I need you to, you know, and I want to make it better. I want it to be the clearest. I was telling somebody, you know, if you're writing and the reader isn't understanding what the story you're trying to convey, it's not the reader's fault. It's your fault. And because you're not communicating to them what you want them to hear. And you're the one in control of those words, not them. They're just getting, so you can't blame the reader for not understanding you, you know, and people want to, but you can't, it's you. So go back to and get it right. And, you know, sometimes you'll get reviews like, you know, the ones that are kink shaming or whatever, and you just ignore those, block those, whatever. But, you know, this isn't your cup of tea. I told you this wasn't your cup of tea. Why are you trying to drink tea with me? Go on and find your kind of tea. I don't need you to, you know. But the other ones are really, really amazing. So, and have you developed like a fan following on Medium, been able to interact and that's some of the best places to meet beta readers, you know, and ARC readers too, is when you get that little, your fan base.
I have, I couldn't tell you how many followers I have on Medium at the moment. I don't know if I've crossed into the 100 threshold yet.
You've got 73, but still, it doesn't really, it only takes that one or two follower that really talks to you.
I think because I post the links to my Twitter feed, anytime I write anything on Medium, I post it to my Twitter feed. So I know a lot of my followers click on the link and they'll comment in the replies to the tweet, but they don't actually follow me on Medium. So
that's different.
The great thing about the link onto your Twitter feed is you don't have to be a Medium user to be able to read it. You can follow that link and you can read it without actually having to be a member or have an account on Medium, which makes it very accessible for a platform like Twitter.
It does. Can you track, you know, clicks and see? Oh, good. Okay. Cause I can't see that.
You get a weekly update emailed, statistics for your stories, and you see how many clicks you got. You can break that down into where those clicks came from. You can even see how many people continue to read your story right through to the end.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you want to see who's reading it to the end. That's fantastic.
So you say, for example, you've got 100 clicks, 80 of those read it to the end. The other 20 gave up partway through. So yeah, it's good because then you know not only are you getting a come read me, but you're also holding the reader's interest. You might not get verbally or actually written as a comment.
That's neat. And is that like an automatic pickup? Is it an automatic because on Wattpad, if they don't hit that star, then you don't know. So sometimes people, it's fun because people read the whole story or whatever in 2 days and it's just like, but if they don't hit it, you have no clue. And I don't understand Literotica's rankings, but it might be around the same thing.
I can't get on with that website at all, even as a reader.
I know. I said at the beginning, it's been around a long time, but the interface is so clunky and a little bit confusing trying to get in and figure out where you post.
It is so unuser-friendly.
And for such an old website that's been around a long time, and I know Literotica, we love you. Fix it. So it's like Twitter in the edit. You just keep the edit from us just to be irritating.
You know? Yeah, and I irritate a lot of my followers. If I spot a typo and I spot it within a couple of minutes, I will delete the tweet and rewrite it.
It drives
my followers to distraction.
I was posting some stuff this morning and I swear I hit it and seven. He'd come along and retweet it. And then I'm like, wait, I deleted it anyways. And then
yeah, some people are so quick on the like and retweet, but you're still like, I was going to change that typo.
So I deleted it anyways. But sometimes you're like, I'm terrible with them. So I don't notice until 2 days later. And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful that you retweeted that 5 times and it's got, but look. Get a typo.
I did a 13 part tweet the other day, a tweet story, and there,
which one was that
correct? Dear me, I was trying to think. I don't know, it was about, it's been a few days ago now. I'm just trying to think which one it was.
Those long stories, though, I really enjoyed them. And
gets you on the first tweet and you don't realize until you've hit send all.
I know. And there's nothing. And then it's that one. And it's worse when it's just one. Everything else is perfect. Like, oh my God.
And because it's such a long thread, have to delete the whole thing and start again. And I'm sort of like, I'm not doing that for one typo. Live with it.
I know, exactly. And I've copied and pasted and had it in a, to check my spelling, because my spelling and grammar is pretty bad. But it doesn't matter, because the way the tweet, just to get it all back, oh, it's such a pain. It's just like Twitter. You're evil.
Oh, no, we love Twitter, really.
We shouldn't complain. It is a neat platform, and it's a neat place for, people from all over the world to come around. Mm. And this, the way the different communities develop and follow back, and you meet people and stuff, is really a unique kind of, the poetry, and then the poetry will, my end of the poetry your end too, kind of bleeds over into the BDSM community, and that bleeds over into this kind of interesting porn GIF community, and then you go GIF community, and then it circles around, and then you might touch somebody who's like, oh, well, these people are really positive and they love tweet positive stuff, but they read all your porn and your other, and so it all comes around in this interesting circle. And I have a lot of veterans in my feed that read it, but they don't, I've talked to them, they're like, no, keep posting it, we like it, but they're never going to interact with it either, because their wives are watching, I don't know, their wives or their friends or whoever, but they're looking at it, they're like, anyways, Twitter's just this neat, the interactions between the different, dirty Twitter is its own kind of place. I think that,
I've made great friends on this side of Twitter.
It's true. I have two. Yeah. Really, really amazing people. Really amazing people. And it's helped me too find out, my little prejudices. Am I really gonna, this kind of thing is not my kink, and it's not something I'm comfortable with at all, but but they're nice people. Am I really gonna, not share the love when they've given me so much? Am I gonna, and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. That's not, I gotta be one thing. It's all sex, and I gotta be honest about, where I'm going with that. So I don't get to pick and choose and be, make favorites. I have to be equal opportunity. I have 4 kids anyways, and so I'm always conscious of dividing everything up equally, and it bugs me when it's, there are too many. I eat the small brownies, the edge brownie.
Yeah.
I want everybody to get an equal brownie. So I think you all deserve your equal brownie. Yeah, I know, it is a mom thing. And so I'm the same way on Twitter with my porn accounts. I'm just like, and retweets and stuff. If you're supporting me, I'm going to support you back. It's just the way it goes. I just can't not. And,
absolutely. I mean, I sometimes get a little flack that I don't follow many people back. And the simple reason for that is I like to keep my timeline quite decluttered. That doesn't mean if somebody replies to a tweet that I'm going to ignore them.
Yeah,
if
there you go.
Someone has taken the time to reply to my tweet, the very least they're going to get is a like. If it's something that resonates with me, I will take a whole conversation on with somebody who I don't follow back, as long as they're being, you know, respectful and and the conversation is interesting. They've made the effort to interact with me. I'm going to reply.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know that's the one thing about Twitter. You know, the more people follow, then your feed gets, and then you miss things.
Yeah, exactly.
And
we're all busy people. And
exactly. Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's nothing wrong with that. I can totally see that. You know, keeping things clean so you can see the stuff you really want to see versus the stuff. You know, I'm in the writing community, and so there's a lot of just advertising and retweeting and follows that clutter up the timeline quite a bit. And it just is what it is for that's just, but at the same time, it'd be nice to see. Yeah, I have to go to certain accounts to see what they're doing, because otherwise I'm not gonna see it among all the clutter. So I have invited you to I'd love to have you read. I want to tell you really quick that I think it might integrate with Medium, but there's a platform called All Ears. I use it on my website. They create I'm telling you this because I think you'll probably be really good at it. They create a little widget kind of thing. You can record your stories. There are two ways you can do it. You can record it on their website, right on your story, on your website. You put your story in the little window, and then you read and record it. And then they create a link for it. And then you can put that link in your blog or website so that you're reading along with your own work. And I have a couple on my, so it just integrates the audio into your stories. It's just an app that is for websites that you can do that. So I bet you'd probably be really wonderful at that. So just hearing your voice, I'm sure you would have a lot of readers who would love to hear you read your stories. So I don't know. But if you wanted to integrate audio into your, that's just, it's called All Ears. And I don't work with them. It's just, I'm seeing it on my toolbar here, and I'm like, oh yeah, that might work for her. I should tell her about that. So
yeah, I did think about looking into Soundgasm, to be honest.
Soundgasm is great. It's just ugly, that gray and the button, and you have to go offsite. You can't embed it, but All Ears you can embed right onto your they have a website where you can go and listen. Like if you shared the link on Twitter, it would actually just open up to that one little link and you could see it. But if you wanted it on your website, it would be a button that people would click and then be able to listen to it directly. You don't have to go off site.
That's very interesting. I'll take a look, see what.
Yeah, it's ALLEARS. And I think it has a different .org or so. I need to look. Let me see. There you go. Yeah. It's appallears.cc. And it's a neat little tool if you wanted to add sound. You two hands, you could do that. So I would love to have you read. That would be, hands is in the on. You didn't see, he's like, oh, she does have a hot voice, because us Americans, we love everything. We love all accents. It's a kink here. We love voices and accents. So...
It's not just a kink for America, believe me.
It's not. It's an obsession.
I struggled to focus listening to Seven. There is something about the South African accent. Especially somebody like Seven who speaks fluent Afrikaans, because the Afrikaans softens the consonants and the South African clips the vowels and... beautiful.
Did you get to I'm like, you need to read, and I think you were too, you need to, I'm gonna have him on again and read some more in Afrikaans, but
he did a sound tweet.
You gotta do that. I'm sorry, I forgot we were gonna do that. Actually, it was requested by other people, and then we got to talking and laughing and I got distracted, darn you. But some voices are I have a voice kink. It's not really a kink. I mean, I just am fascinated. I don't know. A kink, I guess, would imply I get off, and I don't really get off on the stories. I have to have a story if you want to get me there. But the actual, I'll whip my head around in a store if I hear a deer, you know, and to see where that sound is coming from, though, and just I don't know where I used to work. Just to segue, talk about myself. I know it's terrible, but I used to work in a home, and then there was a freeway, and across the freeway was the zoo, and you could hear the lion roar. He must have been 5 miles away, but the lions would get to be roaring at dusk sometimes, and you could hear it. And it's just that low sound that hits you in the chest. And so some men have that sound, that low, that voice. You know, and as they're telling a story
in the corner and letting me read the phone book.
All right, exactly. Yes, that's all I'm saying. Okay, I would love to have you read for us.
Okay. Well, the story I mentioned to you that I was going to read, actually, let me just give you a little background about how that came about. Came about a conversation with a swinger friend of mine about an encounter that he himself had. And he always thought it would be very hot to know what his counterpart's perspective was, so the woman. And that is what this story is. I took what he had told me about the encounter and I wrote what I think the woman in that encounter would have been thinking and feeling. Mm. So that's how this came about.
Okay.
So, a stranger encounter. I can see him in a flash car. It's him. I'm sure it's him. He looks like his profile pic. Yes, it is. There's a signal. Damn, he's eager. Well, I'm glad I didn't bother with knickers. Though the car seat might need a clean later. Let me just get this skirt. Yes, that's better. My thoughts begin to dissipate as action takes over. One foot on the dash and turn slightly towards the passenger window. As I begin to slowly stroke up and down my lips, I know he is watching, waiting a few minutes for me to get into it. It's such a thrill to have a complete stranger know what I am doing and to be out in the open. Granted, this part of the park gets very little footfall, but even so, I give my nipples a little tweak before I start to really lose myself in the pleasure, fingers gathering some of my juices before I begin to focus on my clit. Feeling how she swells beneath my fingers. Just as I begin to let my fingers slip inside my tight cunt, I see him approaching. As agreed, the car is unlocked, and he simply opens the passenger door. He stands there watching me, to all intents and purposes, some pervert getting off on my solo private act. And I suppose, to some degree, that is true. He watches transfixed as I slowly finger myself, his right hand gravitating towards his already hard cock. I watch him closely as he strokes himself through his jeans and I try to match his rhythm. It isn't long before he gets the message. He unzips his jeans and pushes them down just enough. Oh, fuck, he's commando. Does he know how hot that is? He begins to stroke himself in earnest, spitting into his hand to glide the slide. I still match his pace, but I add my other hand, fingers circling my clit at a pace that I know will get me off. He watches, still stroking, varying the pace as I do, with the fingers inside me. Then I feel that insistent tug, the pressure, and I screw my eyes closed as waves of illicit pleasure hit me. Half lying there, I pant as I lick my fingers clean and beckon to him. He gets in the car and takes a seat on the passenger side as I move over towards him. My lips close around the already weeping head of his cock, and I let my tongue tease the slit as I add just a little suction. Pulling back to lick my lips, I return and take half of him in, my tongue pressing against his wraith, retreating to flick up at his frenulum and then down a little further. His hand is now resting on my head, a gentle pressure, and I allow him to push until I feel the beginnings of a gag and pull back, my hand around the base of him as I stroke him in time with my sucks and wet slurps, my tongue never still. Then I feel a change in him. He grips my hair harder and I remove my hand. He takes the hint and starts to steer me, pushing deeper, not caring as I gag, guessing correctly that I love it. I keep as much suction on his cock as I can while he begins to fuck my mouth. My saliva leaking onto his crotch as he pushes harder, hips rocking and moaning softly. Then he pushes me down hard, his cock in my throat and I can't breathe. He releases me for a moment to catch a breath and then back, repeat, until I feel it, the twitch, the tightening of his sack, the way his stomach muscles flutter, and then I'm drinking him down, almost choking as he floods my mouth and throat. He releases my head then and I sit up, mascara streaming, cum on my chin, my skirt pushed up around my waist and a huge grin on my face. He puts his clothes more or less to right and exits the car. He has driven away before I have even gathered my wits enough to look in the mirror.
That's hot. And you read it very well. I just want to tell you, because I know you were a little nervous. It can be nervous to read. You know, you did a great job.
Thank you. What you didn't know is that I was about two-thirds of the way through, and my husband popped his head into the office where I'm currently sat.
Oh, no.
And he got shooed.
Yeah. You did well. I didn't hear it. So there you go. You didn't. I didn't hear it at all. That was wonderful. Oh, wow. That's hot. What did you think, Hans? Are you okay? Yeah, so hot. Well done.
Thank you, Hans. Glad you enjoyed.
And we'll share this out. We'll make sure we know that the erotica was read and it was well done. I'll make sure when I share share the final out. Wow, that was really good. I used to, when I was first, I still do a little bit. I farm out my sex scenes, the really steamy ones, so that I don't, because I'm afraid I'm getting better, but I'm not very good with cuss words. I worked with kids too long, and I feel like I sound like a preschool teacher when I try to say pussycat, you know, pussy. It sounds ridiculous. It feels ridiculous, and or anything, or, you know, I can't even say the F word. It's really uncomfortable for me. I don't know.
I struggle with the word pussy. I don't know what it is. I'm okay writing it, but when it comes to actually reading it, I feel a little awkward. I much prefer the C word. And I know that really doesn't sit with a lot of people, but and that's me.
That's kind of European, though, because I don't know, you know, European, because there are a lot of, I've noted, you know, it probably isn't very polite, but I noticed, depending on where you're from in the British Isles, you know, some people use it more and some people use it less, but it's like, I see it quite a bit.
It's a divisive word. I mean, for me personally, as a linguist, a lover of language, I like it because of the actual meaning of the word, both anatomically and as a curse word, because it comes from the Old English cant, K-A-N-T, which means empty place.
Oh, there you go. I so didn't know that.
If you talk about the vagina, the etymology of vagina is actually sheath, which implies that that its sole purpose is to have something inside it, you know, like the sheath of a sword. Mm-hmm. So to me, Personally, I find cunt a lot more accurate because,
yes,
let's face it, 90% of the time it is an empty place.
It is. True.
Yeah, you don't walk. Well, actually, I do at times walk around with my my memoir balls inside, but hey ho. And as an insult, to me, there is no bigger insult or curse word to call a person than empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
To me, I do like the word both as a curse word and as anatomically, but I know that I am in the minority.
The first time I used to have, it was a lot, I guess if you haven't heard it a lot, the first time I had been called that by bullies when I was younger. And so when I used to see it in writing, it was always very cringy for me. I've seen it enough. And then two, when I use it, it works on creating the character in their dialogue, because only certain kind of people are going to be brave. You know, it's a certain kind of man or woman who's going to use that word boldly, who's going to be able to just say it without any kind of reticence. I can't even say that word. So, who's going to be able to say it boldly. And, and so it has its power, and I have used it, but I don't ever use it. I couldn't imagine. It would be really hard for me to use. But even pussy is pretty hard. I have friends that, I'm pretty straight laced, and they thought it was hilarious. Their son was in the hospital, and they said, "Here, read this book to him." It was The Owl and the Pussycat. And they were tired, and I don't know if they were hot. Every time I read, they were like dying. They had tears in their eyes.
Like Brenda's beaver needs a haircut.
Oh my gosh. That's not a real children's book, is it? Because
I believe it is.
I saw the video of this woman reading it on. Oh my, that is so. Yes,
you
exactly.
You can't read it with a straight face.
No, I can't be a real book. Nobody would do. This
is. I used to work for the British franchise holder of Pepsi here in the UK, and they have a sub brand that they see as being very edgy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's known at all outside of the UK, Tango.
Oh, I've seen. Yeah, well, I've been there, so I've seen it. Yes, Tango. So how did they?
So imagine my surprise one lunchtime at work when I walk into the ladies' bathroom, and on the floor they have these advertising stickers. Tango turned my beaver into a badger.
Oh!
The advertising campaign did not last long. HR had a quiet word with advertising, and they kind of disappeared.
I guess so, because oh, that's wrong on every level.
It gave us all a good giggle in the office, though.
Oh, I bet every woman who comes out and sees it.
And then, of course, you've got the generational gap, the women who were sort of like just coming up to retirement age who really didn't see why it was so amusing.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's horrible. Maybe they did it on purpose just to... That's too funny. Oh my, yeah, sometimes we get so I can't think of any offhand, but I know there have been some really bad. Usually it's hamburgers for whatever reason here in the States that have some, or
go on YouTube and look for Club Orange, Irish brand, and they've got an advertising campaign from the about 2008. Some bits are crucial. I'm not going to give any spoilers. If your listeners want to go onto YouTube and look up that advert, Club Orange, some bits are crucial. You will thank me.
Oh, God. Okay. Laughing is always good for the soul. So
I might share that to my Twitter feed, actually, and see.
You should. You should. Because, oh, man, that's too funny. That's words are fun. Words are fun.
Oh, that's especially really when you have advertisers who have the devil inside them.
Oh, it's true. And if they can get it, you know, I imagine the heads of the company, they're a little old. They don't know. So they're not going to know. And people are going to love this. They're going to think it's so funny and great. And nobody's going to know, but in the company. So we should, I can't even imagine the conversations. And
it's all about clicks. It's getting the attention. It's going viral and that sort of thing. It does.
Yes. You know, so you know, it just has to accidentally, it accidentally slips out for 24 hours and then, you know, somebody will come, oh, well, we made a mistake. Did you really?
The sales say otherwise.
You said you needed a boost in sales. We're a mom and pop company. Oh, yeah, mom didn't mean to boost pops quite so much. Okay. I'm sorry, I just had to after I said that. I just...
Oh, my
God. Yeah, see, I did not know the BDS. It's everywhere now. It's becoming common culture, popular culture.
And why not?
We're all I know. It's exactly. It's about time. It's normalized BDSM. Oh, that's going to be a tweet. No, it's not. I'm not. Hands, you can do it. We're normalizing everybody today. So, you know, might as well. Oh, Kate, thank you so much for coming on today and laughing with me.
It has been so much fun.
Oh, I'm glad. See, Seven said you'd be fine. I saw that tweet. I made him laugh too.
Oh, I was worried about tech. I knew once we got on and got chatting, we'd be fine. But, you know, this age of technology, and I've had far too many Skype calls and Zoom meetings go tits up because technology is let down.
Oh, I know. And it does too. I've had the Podbean, I've had the app, you know, quit, you know, halfway. There'll be a storm somewhere and it'll just, or the internet, my internet will go, but it's happened. Mm-hmm. I have a couple shows where I had to go back and piece them together because the internet just wouldn't hold on. But it worked, and the app is working good. You were able to call in from and the reception is clear. So thank you so much for coming on and telling us about Medium.
Thank you for asking me.
Oh, I'm just honored. I'm very honored to have a conversation with you and laugh with you and hear about your writing. And so have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm going to have coffee it's about 6 now and do I go back to bed? It's Saturday. So, or do I stay up? I don't know.
It's 30 degrees centigrade here. I am heading into the pool.
Oh yeah. That's warm. I've been seeing that. It's been warm everywhere. It's been a warm year. For you guys, that's unusual to get that warm, you know?
Yeah.
Well, go enjoy your pool. Have a great afternoon. Get some sun.
Thank you so much for asking me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Isabel and Wright's Grown Up Story Time. Thank you so much for joining me. That was Kate. I will have her social media stuff, her Medium account where you can read the story that she read for us today. I will have links to her Twitter. You need to follow her. She posts like poetry as well as those long threads, which are very erotic and very cool. She posts all kinds of stuff that's really wonderful. If you like that sort of thing, if you like your reads hot, I would definitely follow. Yeah, so there you go. Have a great day. It's just starting out for me. Your story is important. You are important, whether your story has erotic elements or not, but you are important. You are a spark that contributes to the stars in the sky. I'm getting all weird and it's early. I need more coffee, but just know that your story and you are important, whether we agree or not, whether we like each other or not, it doesn't really matter. You have value. Thank you so much for joining me today and have a fantastic day.